This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Error Code 8, we've got an iPad recap for you, AT&T up to their old shenanigans, Yahoo pretty much owns the internet, and Anonymous gives us a little software goodie. Stay tuned. Listening to Error Code 8. I'm your host, as always, Jesse Miller, and joining me again, as always, the Techno Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Welcome.
That was mock.
Welcome
mock,
back, everyone.
Nice. Yeah, I tried to do mock. I tried to do a mock Irish accent on the 8-Bits podcast to do one of the intros for the Boondock Saints game, and I kind of butchered it, but, you know, what can you do? You can't do a real Gaelic accent unless you're a little smashed.
Literally every game of Dungeons and Dragons I play, 3 beers in, every one of my characters has an Irish accent. It's just, it happens, don't know what it is, it's awesome. The way it goes.
It's good stuff. All right, let's see here. First on our list, there's this thing. It came out. It's not really that big of a deal. I don't even know why I put it on the list, but it's the new iPad. Yeah. Have you heard of those? Mm. You've heard of those, right? It's a niche market. You know, nobody ever buys them, but I figured it was a good thing to comment on.
Yeah, the thing is that whenever I Googled it, it pulled up really old articles from, like, last year and the year before. And
like GeoCities?
I was really confused. Yeah, I mean, type in new iPad, and what do you get? You get articles from last year about the new iPad.
Exactly.
And then before that.
Yeah, so Apple has called it the new iPad. That's all it is. It's the iPad. You still have the iPad 2. They're still in production. But now we have the new iPad. It's not confusing, but I could see where it would become confusing in a conversation, kind of a who's on first type deal.
Yeah.
So, have you looked at any of the specs for the new one?
Oh yeah, I've been I went and checked it out, and it's expected. I mean, it's exactly a step up with what was in line. Of course, every one of my predictions I think last time was wrong.
I don't think you were wrong on all of them. I really don't. But you were wrong on a couple.
Yep.
So, you know what? Let's bring it up, and we'll see exactly what you were wrong on. That was episode 10. Let's see. Episode 10, you said that there would be Siri. I also said there would be Siri. And we were both wrong. It's not Siri, it's just voice dictation.
Mm-hmm.
That's splitting hairs, but you know, still, it's not Siri.
I actually think that is because of the battery issues that everyone is still having.
Yeah, I think it's also because Siri is still a beta product, and because of that, they're having server issues on and off. You don't want to put that in a brand new iPad. People will be disappointed. No. All right, let's see here. The resolution jump on the display. You said there would be an increased resolution, but because of battery drain, you didn't think that there'd be a Retina display.
Yep, they actually went ahead and did that, which
full on Retina.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I will say that's because I didn't expect the biggest hardware change, which was the dual core graphics.
Exactly. Quad core graphics.
Quad core graphics with dual core processors. Exactly. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
And see, I actually said that the design would stay the same, which is pretty much correct. The only thing that really changes is the camera's bigger. I said there'd be a better camera. I said that there would be a quad-core A5. I was half right. It's quad-core graphics, dual-core CPU. Mm-hmm. I was half right. I'll give myself a half a point. And then I also said that the iPad 2 would be dropping in price. I called that one out of left field, and that really paid off.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I'd be right on that or not, but that's... I'm glad that I was.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm the one of the interesting thing about the quad core graphics and dual core processor is that that actually circumvents the battery life issues that quad cores suffer, since your quad core graphics really are only going to be in effect under the most intense situations.
Exactly.
And having that's a brilliant, a very, very brilliant, I have to give Apple props 100% for going that route.
Well,
and I hope Android manufacturers follow suit.
Definitely. And if you look at Apple's laptops, for instance, the MacBook Pro line has a built-in Intel graphics chipset for video, but they also have different video cards in them for major video. And by having that second, you know, the dedicated GPU and the on-chip GPU, for like right now while I'm browsing the web, it's not using my regular GPU. It's on the Intel. That makes it, you know, just enough graphics to run the operating system, but not to do a game, but it's lower power drain. When I boot up a game, my battery life expectancy like juts down because it boots up that secondary GPU.
Yes.
That's the exact same thought. You know, if it's not using its GPU, it's going to tone down those processors. If it needs it for Infinity Blade 1.5 billion, you're going to see a big jump.
Yes.
They also say that its estimated battery life for normal use is 10 hours on Wi-Fi, 9 hours on 4G. Which, by the way, is something I did not see coming. I did not think they were going to put 4G in it. I really didn't. LTE has come to the iPad in both AT&T and Verizon flavors. I didn't see that happening. I thought the battery drain would be too ridiculously high on that. So, hey.
More power to
you, I guess. The only 4G we have anywhere near us is we have a WiMAX a little bit north of where we are.
It's not up where I'm at. Yeah, where I've moved to, there is still no 4G.
Man,
WiMAX.
It's really close to you then, because
yeah, it's
in that
it's
shop.
Close, but they're missing out on one of the largest population cities with very large population cities around it.
Gotcha.
You know, south of St. Louis, and I can't believe that they're missing this market. Yeah. They never made it all the way down here. You know, I mean, it's literally I'm 30 minutes from St. Louis, but I'm 15 minutes away somehow from WiMAX.
For instance, yeah, I guess you see there the major shopping center near where you are has 4G.
Mm-hmm.
I've used it there. So you are just like right outside.
Yeah. That I'm effectively from that one, which that's a localized one, by the way. That is literally a single tower with a single emitter for WiMAX.
Nice.
Yeah, it just covers that shopping center.
That's why it didn't work so well.
Yeah,
that
it's bogged, really bogged down because there's 15 apartment complex surrounding it.
That makes sense. All right. Also, let's see here. We covered the processor. We covered the 4G, AT&T, Verizon. 5-megapixel EyeSight camera on the front. That's a little bit of a jump, so it'll look really nice when you're Skyping with this thing. And then you get 1080p video recording. You get 5-megapixel actual photos from the back using the iPhone. I believe, some people are saying it's the 4S camera. I think it's actually the iPhone 4's camera, because the 4S's camera was 8 megapixels. So I think it's kind of a marriage of the two to keep the price down, keep the power consumption down, but still give you amazing photos. I have seen some of the photos coming off of the iPad. It does look pretty impressive. I don't know why you'd want to hold your iPad to take an average photo, but I think for things like barcode scanners and all that kind of good stuff, this is really going to come in handy. Because if I had an iPad, I'd shop with it. Why not? All right. Some of the other things, you know, pretty much the whole app lineup is the same as the iPad 2. Like I said, it looks the same. 10-hour battery life goes down to 9 on 4G. All your basic flavors, you got 16, 32, 64. I was really hoping they'd come out with another one, a 128, just get rid of the 16 and move the 32 to the $500 spot. No such luck. But, you know, what are you going to do? So, those will be debuting in stores in just 2 days. Probably about a day once you get this podcast and start listening to it. That's March 16th. I want one. I will be getting one, and I won't be getting it on the 16th, unfortunately. The Apple Store is already, even if you order online, the online store is actually backed up to the point where they won't ship for 2 to 3 weeks. So I will probably just try to fight my way into an Apple Store next week and snag one. You know. Because when it comes down to it, and several people have asked me this, they ask me if I think that Apple has artificially instigated like a shortage of iPads. I constantly tell them, no, there's no way Apple would ever do that because they don't need that anymore. All they have to do is say, here's a new iPad, have at it. And every Apple fan in the world comes out of the woodwork, and they can sell them faster than they can make them. So there is absolutely no issues with them having any problem with that. If it's a shortage, it's actually a shortage, not fake. What should we do next? How about this? My most hated company in the world, AT&T, tries to settle with the guy who got throttled on their network and sued him in small claims court. I love it. I love any time AT&T has a hard time. It tickles me. So the guy won. His name's Matthew, and I'm going to butcher your last name. Please forgive me. Spaccarelli? I'm not even going to try. I can't even... No. But anyway, Matthew got $850 from AT&T in small claims court. Now, he was getting throttled at about 1.5 to 2 gigabytes. He has an unlimited plan. We covered this in a previous episode. The 3 gigabyte tiered plan costs $30. He was paying the same price but getting throttled at a much lower rate. He sued AT&T. Like I said, he won $850 in damages. Now, according to the Associated Press, AT&T sent him a letter demanding that he participate in settlement talks or his phone service could be shut down. Now, AT&T got a hold of several media publications and clarified, once again, their story, that if he chose, they asked him to participate in settlement talks, and if he chose to engage in the settlement talks, he would have to sign an NDA, and his service would only be terminated if he agreed to the settlement, but violated their signed agreement. It's a huge, gigantic mess. Now, the thing is, this guy is trying, he's basically turned this down. He wants to try and get multiple people to band together and all of them get together and sue AT&T in small claims court, you know? And I think, so hopefully his little thing works and AT&T gets their butt handed to them. That's just me though. I mean, some other people might not want that, but I would love to see it.
I would like to see actually something come around, not necessarily in regards to settling or throttling or anything else like that. I get that for network integrity, there are places where AT&T does need to throttle due to the fact that their network is kind of shoddy in those places. And if they would invest there, it would fix it. However, they're not. But I would like to see this eventually come back around to removing the contractual agreement that class action lawsuits can't be filed against AT&T or Verizon or any of the big ones.
That would be great.
Now, I get class action lawsuits help the lawyers more than they do the people, but it's the easiest way to get sweeping changes against the company.
Exactly. It's more of a checks and balances system.
Right. It's not necessarily – you don't go into a class action lawsuit hoping to win even $850. If you're lucky, you get a free case or a $30 credit, as yeah, we've all seen.
Exactly.
However, this needs to be – I mean, it would be so much easier if we could band together against AT&T and these large corporations. But no, if we want to use their service, we're not allowed to do that. That's kind of against what this nation's about. So,
oh,
and
exactly
what most modern nations are about.
I hate that. if you're a company, you should... it's the same thing as government. I think that a company should be afraid of its customers, not mm-hmm. the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that can keep big companies with this much money in check, is the fact that they have to worry about keeping their customers. That's why T-Mobile has done so much for their customers, because they have to fight to keep them.
Right.
And everybody just automatically flocks to AT&T. I understand they have the biggest network. Definitely not the best, but the biggest. Come on, guys. Leave AT&T. Go to a different provider. Someone who's not shifty. Look at your local providers. Look at smaller nationwide providers. Just, man.
Mm-hmm. What's sad is you know, I just
someone
checked,
was asking me not too long ago, what happens if you, since you're big into cell phones, what happens if you end up one day down the road trying to get a job at AT&T and they listen to your podcast and hear how much you hate them? Please, for the love of all that is holy, listen to the podcast, hear how much I hate you. I will never work for your company.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I actually I've been a dealer for
a drug all dealer.
Well, a cell phone dealer. We won't go into the other forms of income. joking on that. No,
Sam's actually a Colombian drug lord. He just plays up the Gaelic thing.
Yes. It definitely distracts any cops that pull me over or try to search me. I mean, you know, what do you do? How do you search a guy in a kilt?
Yeah,
really?
Exactly. Where is he hiding it? Don't ask.
But,
in his socks.
No, that's the cleanest place I keep it. oh, back on track.
Anyway, AT&T sucks. All right.
Yeah, I've been a cell phone dealer for all but one of the major carriers, along with a lot of the smaller providers. And the thing is, I will never, ever, ever in my life work in cell phone dealing again. Ever. It is truly, just so all of you listeners know, the fact is I'm sorry, I can't please any of you. It's as simple as that. There are so many different kinds of customers and what people want, and cell phones are so varied and crazy. And what most people don't realize is that, disregarding T-Mobile, but when you go with the big three, AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint, on average, you're paying the almost exactly the same. You're looking at $10, maybe $15 difference a month. So I always tried to deal with the ones that I wouldn't – that I felt I would push customers towards the carriers that wouldn't screw their customers over. Mm-hmm. That didn't always work out. So if you're all wondering, I will gladly badmouth these companies, because mm-hmm. I will never, for the sake of the customers, will never work in cell phones again.
Hear, hear.
Yes.
All right. Did you hear that Yahoo pretty much owns the internet? Did you know that? I didn't know that.
But I actually didn't even know Yahoo was alive.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they passed on.
They're definitely floundering, but they are alive. Now, here's a little bit of clarification. Yahoo owns 10 patents, 10 very important patents, by the way. And they're using some of those patents to sue Big Blue, to sue Facebook. Yeah, Yahoo suing Facebook. How does that work? I wouldn't even expect Yahoo to be able to afford the lawyers to sue Facebook. So anyway, let's go through some of these patents. What I mean by owning the internet, I'll read some of these off. I'll kind of explain them to you, and you'll see what I mean about how widespread these patents are. It's pretty ridiculous. All right. First one, and I'll say what it actually says, and then I'll give you somewhat of a breakdown. Control for enabling a user to preview display of selected content based on another user's authorization level. Now, basically, this is a way to look at the stuff that you're sharing with your friends. So this, you get to preview an image before you send it out to your Facebook friends or your Google circles or anything like that. That's huge. That's a pretty wide variety of services. I mean, that's, good Lord, that's pretty much everybody. So they own that one. Dynamic page generator. This one is a biggie. This one's even bigger than the last one. Basically, it's a way to have a customized homepage displayed for you. So originally it was on like my.yahoo.com or something like that. If you use Google and use, I think it's called iGoogle, where it displays all your information, you know, your weather, news, and top stories and all kinds of stuff along with the Google search bar, that's one of those pages. Facebook is pretty much one of those pages because it updates with data that you decide that goes on there. It's Google Plus, you know, all these services. If you decide what goes on a page and it dynamically creates a page for you every time you log in, it is infringing on this patent. So that's a biggie. So they own.
Oh, yeah.
I think right now we're up to about 30% of the internet they own, something like that. And, ooh, get ready for this one. It's going to jump it. Online playback system with community bias. Goodbye, Spotify. Goodbye, Slacker, Pandora, Last.fm. The list goes on and on. MySpace, Facebook, Google Music. See ya! Yeah, so there's, yep. I think we jumped from 30 to 70 on that one. That's a huge one. So that's about 70%. Oh, yeah. And that's only, like, what, patent number 3?
Yes.
So, okay, here's, I'll run through the rest of these. We'll just assume we're going to get to 100%. So, world modeling using a relationship network with communication channels to entities. Basically, this is it's a way to connect different types of pages. So, you know, like your Facebook fan page, your friends page, your invitations page, and all those connected together using an information web. They got pretty much everybody on that one, too. They were smart with the way they put these patents together. I mean, it's pretty impressive. Let's see. Next one. System and method for instant messaging using an email protocol. Wow. I mean, wow. Every single instant message program in the world that is not Yahoo Messenger, ding, you just got tagged.
What's interesting is they filed that in 2003, which is interesting because I guarantee you I was using an instant messenger before 2003.
Exactly.
Trying to recall which one that would have been.
There were probably ones around, but the thing is that, you know, if they didn't get a patent...
I don't know. This is America. They got a patent, and someone else got a patent, and someone else got a patent, and someone else has a patent.
The patent system is nothing if not broken.
Oh, yes. AOL. I had AOL dial-up internet, 6th grade, well before 2003. Instant Messenger was built in.
I love that. To get AOL, when you said, I have AOL, it wasn't just a browser page.
Yeah.
It was also like a $30 a month internet.
Yeah.
And I had like 80 of those CDs that were get 1,000 hours free and all this crap. I used them as coasters.
We'd use it, set it all up, and then uninstall it when it was done and set up a new account.
Exactly. I did that a couple times.
It was really easy to break. You just kept going to Walmart and picking up a free CD.
Okay. AOL. All right. Let's see here. 2 patents on this one. Method and system for optimum placement of advertisements on a web page. Wow. This is basically choosing what ads and where to put them based on your usage. Facebook, ding. Google, ding. I mean, 2 biggest ones right there, you know? And that's all they do. So there's another. Next, system and method to determine the validity of an interaction on a network. This is basically reporting spam or infringing stuff on YouTube, inappropriate pictures on Facebook, Instagram, Flickr, all these sites. That's another biggie. All right, method and system for customizing views of information associated with a social network user. Basically, this is telling you that you can set your profile to view only to certain people. You know, I mean, that's Facebook, Google+, MySpace. Mm-hmm. It's just... All right, that's pretty much all of them. But man, they own the internet. Do you see what I mean by own the internet? There are so many sites that use those.
And what is ridiculous is that so many of these are filed well after you saw implementations of this on the internet by various people, which means I guarantee it that there are already patents out there that handle these. So I will probably will wait and see. I bet Yahoo's going to get sued shortly for counter-licensing.
Oh yeah,
and some random company we've never heard of, MySpace. Yeah, I would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if MySpace jumped in on the lawsuit against them eventually, but because I know they held they were various patents involved in that, which is, you know, whenever they were sold, I remember those being transferred. I don't know what they contained, but this is ridiculous. I mean, we really need to fix the patent system here.
They need to be more precise. I mean, good Lord, that is just, it's so wide stretching. And I'm sure back then they seemed precise because it was somewhat new technology. But my goodness, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you would fix it, to be completely honest. I mean, I can say we need to fix it and everyone can, but I don't know how you would, because if it becomes more precise, then you're not patenting a general idea, you're patenting a actual piece of software or something of the sort, and that kind of leaves room for imitators to get in early. But if you put something like a expiration date on patents, then you've got patents that last for a while, cut off, and then everyone flocks to get in on it. You know, mm-hmm. Which, I mean, that might not be bad, but then again, you get some people who patent amazing ideas and do great things with them, instead of just suing whatever company they can to keep themselves afloat. And those are the people I feel sorry for. I mean, Yahoo is floundering. Their neck is cut, and they're just hemorrhaging money like you wouldn't believe. So this is a way to keep themselves afloat by suing Facebook. Because Facebook's got so much money, it would probably almost be easier for them to just say, you know what, here, take some money. We'll slide that over the table to you. You know, and just settle with them over this. But still.
What's interesting is the fact that they haven't, like, one of the things about fixing the patent system really actually needs to be an easy way for people, for someone like me, to look. All right, who licenses patent number 7454509 from Yahoo? Look and see. I mean, that's one of those things. That's the web radio station one. Does anybody license that from Yahoo, realistically? I mean, probably does Pandora, not. Spotify? Because if they don't, then yes. Then it's easy to see in regards to lawsuits and everything else. Yeah, this is a cash grab. Have they sued Google? Does Google license these technologies? I kind of doubt it. I really don't think that Google is paying Yahoo for very many of these patents.
I doubt it. But then again, it's hard. I mean, there's so many patents, it'd be hard to tell who has a patent and who doesn't, unless you are mm-hmm. specifically looking for that patent, you know?
Right.
It's back to the old adage of, it's easier to apologize than to ask permission.
100%.
So, all right. Next one, this is our last story. This one I just added in because I found it somewhat interesting, in all honesty. I almost want to get this, but I almost don't. mm-hmm. Anonymous, which is the hacker group that's pretty much the one, you know, next to Lulzsec, which is pretty much disbanded at this point because of their leader turning on them. Anonymous has released its own desktop OS. Nothing like a big hacker group coming out with an operating system to make you feel safe, right? Basically, it's based on the Ubuntu 11.10 operating system, so it's, you know, pretty high up there. That's pretty good. Uses the Mate desktop environment and includes some of their favorite tools, including the HOIC, which is the High Orbit Ion Cannon, I believe is what they call that. It's basically, that's the one they use for denial of service attacks, right?
Yeah, DDoS, yep.
Yeah, I thought so. They have John the Ripper, which is a password cracker. SQL Poison. Do you know what that one is? I'm not sure what that one is. I would assume it's for database corruption, but not.
Yeah, corruption and probably I could easily see it like intersecting to redirect searches and things like that. You know,
that would make sense. And they say and more. Now,
yeah,
it's version 0.1. It's free. It's available if you want to download it. I don't know, because, man, this is a group of unbelievably smart people, and I don't know if this is something you'd really want to download and connect to the internet with, because it has the ability to turn your computer into pretty much a walking anonymous zombie and just botnet the living heck out of your computer. You know,
if you're interested in tinkering with things like this, Backtrack is, I won't say a 100% safer method, because I know those downloads are tracked.
Yes.
However, Backtrack has most of the tools, and you don't have to worry about them zombieing your computer for DDoS.
Exactly.
Not to say Anonymous would, but you never know.
I like Backtrack.
Yeah, Backtrack's actually really friendly and is the exact same setup. It's a modified Ubuntu operating system. Very user-friendly, has a ton of help videos. It's something that a lot of schools actually, they don't tell you to download it, but they generally will recommend it for educational purposes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We used it quite a bit when I went for my CCNA certification to test networks that we actually built.
So. Yep.
All right. That's pretty much all we have for this week. News is really quiet around an iPad launch. I mean, it's a given. So we're gonna let you out of class a little early. We're not gonna wait for the bell. We're just gonna let you out. That's just how it's gonna go. So Sam, tell them how they can find, follow, and stalk you.
You can find me on Twitter, the Manitou Man, or at the Manitou Man. I've been a little bit quiet the past few weeks. It's been a very, very busy schedule for Sam. But feel free to message me any questions. I will respond. Or if you have any awesome little tech stuff, like I said, I've been meaning to start digging into that, but it's been very quiet. You can find me here, Sam Briggs at 8daysofgeek.com, Gmail, manitouman@gmail.com, and that should be everywhere still.
Awesome. For me, you can email me, jesse@8daysofgeek.com. I'm on Twitter, of course, Pen of Doom. That's PENOFDOOM. And then the best way to get a hold of me any other ways than that is just to go to about.me/Jesse Miller, and that is pretty much everything. I updated it very recently. I believe I updated it right after our last episode. It has everything. So you're set, ready to go if you just go there. You can even find my email address and my Twitter there if you don't feel like typing those in individually. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail or send us a text message, the number is 754-273-6397. And if you were too busy reeling about all the crap that AT&T does, that number is 754-273-6397. That number's hosted by Google, by the way, not AT&T. So feel free to call it all you want. All right, Sam, tell them goodnight. Oh, all I get
is goodnight.
That took forever. You can tell when Sam has lag on his line, because I say, hey, Sam, say this, and then you get silence. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's man, I really need internet. It's just, my life is so hectic right now that Sam, I'd be paying for something I would use once a week.
Sam is still on AOL, for all those who are wondering. He's still working off that 1,000 hours.
Hey, I have an entire box of those CDs. They are not yet all used, and I'm pretty sure eventually AOL is going to stop tracking them. And then,
then
I will have unlimited internet.
Soon I will be invincible. It's awesome. All right.
14.7 kilobytes per second.
Woo! We'll see you guys next week. Be sure to tune in.